Good morning. Well, I'm glad this is the Faith Initiative because it took grace to get me here this morning because Murphy's Law was in full effect against me. Okay. As Ms. Bailey said, I'm Saronda Robinson. I know that your booklet lists Ms. Linda King, and my project is actually a little different from what's listed there because Ms. King departed from our program some time ago, and she was more hands-on with the particular faith-based initiative, and my role was more from a comprehensive perspective, and that's where I'll be speaking from this morning. So our project is Emerging Qualitative Innovative Programs, or Project EQIP, and it's an assessment of the Health Disparities Initiative Diabetes Initiative Programs. I'm from North Carolina Central University, and these are my co-authors. So I have no conflicts to disclose. Okay, I'm going to give you a background about the Health Disparities Initiative, followed by the methods implemented from Project EQIP and our analysis procedures, the results of our findings, followed by a summary and the lessons learned. The North Carolina Health and Wellness Trust Fund was created by the General Assembly in 2000 to allocate a portion of North Carolina's share of the national tobacco settlement. And the Health and Wellness Trust Fund, it funded programs that promoted access, prevention, education, and research to improve the health of North Carolinians. Health Disparities Initiative was a community-based interventions grant. North Carolina Central University were the overseers of this grant. And the target populations were African-American, Latinos, and American Indians, so minority groups in that area who suffered disproportionately from these outcome diseases, diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, cancer, and obesity. In phase one, which took place from 2006 to 2009, we were awarded $9.5 million that was distributed among 24 grantees. And these were government, medical, community-based, and faith-based programs. So we were giving people in the community the opportunity to develop programs to address these health disparities. In phase two, we received $7.1 million to fund 21 grantees. And this phase two program was ended a year early due to the legislative budget cuts in 2011, which ended its funds to the Health and Wellness Trust Fund. So our Health Disparities Initiative supported 13 grantee programs that provided diabetes intervention or prevention. So out of the 21 that were funded in phase two, 13 of them focus on diabetes as its outcome, because diabetes is quite prevalent in North Carolina, with North Carolina ranking top 10 in the nation. Now, Project EQIP was developed to qualitatively assess the effectiveness of these programs using focus groups, key informant interviews, and program component assessments. Now, East Carolina University provided oversight to the quantitative evaluation of the Health Disparities Initiative, but we wanted to go a step further and actually talk to the people who were involved. So since we were doing community-based research, then we know that when you make health behavior changes, the numbers aren't always as telling as hearing the impact from the people. So some of the programs that were funded, some were faith-based. And the components of these programs were they provided church-based educational curriculums, church-based prevention programs to maintain physical activity and to improve healthy eating. Some even implemented a farmer's market. They provided educational messages through the church bulletins, announcements, the church bulletin boards, and newsletters. They collaborated with pastoral liaisons to implement these programs, held health fairs, and used a lay health advisor educational format. Some of the community-based programs used family-based preventions where they worked with parents or worked with the family as a whole. They used group visits with certified diabetes educators. One grantee implemented a physician diversity training to make the physicians more culturally aware of their services to enhance access to minority groups. They used a comprehensive lifestyle diabetes management, behavior change programs such as workshops, walking groups, providing free supplies, health fairs, and clinical referrals and patient navigations. So now I'm going to focus more on Project EQUIP and the qualitative assessment that we perform. So between February and June of 2011, the EQUIP research team, we conducted 5 focus groups in various regions of North Carolina that were strategically selected to represent each region of the state because these regions represented the diversity in socioeconomic status and in healthcare access and health status. We also conducted key personnel telephone interviews with some of the administrators, community partners, and other personnel working with these grantee programs. And the domains that we measured were motivators and barriers to consumer participation, which was measured through the focus group, sources of support for participation. We also looked at predictors of sustainability and the success of the programs, and also barriers through the interviews with the administrators. Some demographics of our focus group participants, the majority were women. Their age, many were 60 and over, but we also had a large group that was between 45 to 59. 75% were Black or African American. 32% were married. 35% nearly were unemployed. 38 or nearly 40% had a high school, were high school graduates or had a GED. And the household income of the majority was generally less than $20,000. So as we said, we're generally working with un- or underserved populations. The health insurance status, about 40% received Medicaid or Medicare, and 73.5% actually had diabetes. Because with these programs, we found that a lot of families and other social support members, they would come to attend these programs to take the information back to family members or other people that they knew who had the disease and did not feel comfortable attending the programs or were embarrassed to attend the programs. So when we asked them about which activities were helpful that they found helpful through these grant programs that actually helped with their diabetes, they mentioned that learning healthier food choices and alternative cooking methods was helpful, as well as meeting with peers and trainers who provided them accountability to actually make changes to their health and to maintain those changes. They liked the exercise and walking programs. Many of them enjoyed the swimming programs. Participating in and organizing health fairs because they saw the impact of getting the information out to other people in the community. They learned a lot from the foot care sessions and how to take care of their feet. And they participated in conversation maps where a lot of people talked about the various aspects of diabetes and learned about resources and gained better understanding and awareness of diabetes as a whole. When we asked them what things actually influenced them to participate in these programs, they said that initially it was encouragement and support from their doctors and from their families, and also observing the battles of other people who suffered from chronic diseases, both at work and at home, it motivated them to participate and to make changes. Also, some were referred by their case managers, and through program promotion from other programs. So when they attended other programs in the community, they promoted these grant programs, and that encouraged them to attend. They said they were supportive staff and peers, and they had a desire to feel better. And when asked about things that helped them to continue participation, they said it was the support from the staff and others involved, the improvement in their health, the flexible schedules, and learning new information. Also a desire to receive more information to share with their family and friends. Other facilitators were social support and the variety of activities in which they engage. The consistent engagement, encouragement from the staff, they said if they usually attended the programs and they happened to not attend, then the staff would follow up with them and they liked that feeling that someone cared about them and that encouraged them to continue to participate. the location, because several of these areas were in rural areas and they didn't have ready access to other health care, so these programs being available in their community was very helpful for them. They enjoyed the fact that the classes were free, which also provided access, and they could receive free or discounted medicines, and some programs provided transportation. But the barriers to their participation were their work and personal schedules and not being able to attend some of these sessions. And some of them said the classes were not frequent enough and they needed more evening or weekend classes. Some people had self-esteem issues, while there were some who liked the low-impact swimming classes, others didn't feel comfortable putting on a bathing suit. Sometimes their physical well-being hindered them from participating. And when the program didn't provide transportation, this was a hindrance to them. Those that had the more case management type services, they said sometimes it was a long wait for them to receive feedback from their case managers, or they would have to wait a while for them to call them back. And then some said the lack of staff availability via phone, so when they had to actually go into the programs or were not able to reach a case manager via phone, this was an additional barrier. And when we asked them about suggested improvements to guide us in future program development, they wanted more accommodating hours, more space so they could have larger staff. They wanted nutritionists and cooking classes and the use of more technology such as email or Facebook to reach out and extend that outreach component. They needed transportation to access the programs, and they wanted more free health and exercise facilities in rural areas. So they appreciated these groups meeting there and the support of the groups, but they needed more access to services and facilities. When we asked for suggested motivators to increase minority participation, they asked for more information in the community, earlier intervention and prevention, such as in the schools, and again, incorporating more technology so you could reach a broader audience, more outreach in the community. And they said if you would call and bring other people with you, that would get more people involved. And they said it's very important to add a mental health component due to the depression that often accompanies diabetes and other chronic diseases. And they said to continue the health fairs to get the information to more people. And we asked how important the influence of others were on their participation. They said the advice and encouragement from their physicians and family members was, as well as significant others, was important. And also they were motivated to help themselves to help other people. When we asked them about the community's response to people having diabetes, they said it was often minimalized because it was so prevalent that people just took it as being normal. They saw that a lot of people were in denial who had diabetes, and that the community was not well informed about the disease. They said there was a misunderstanding regarding the ability to control it, and that participants, as far as their outlook on it, they said they tried to educate and share the information with others and to give better understanding of the condition and difficulty of managing it. We found some interesting quotes regarding how people view diabetes. They said some people would say, oh, you just have diabetes. Have a piece of cake and you'll feel better, you know. Or they said, you know, people would say, oh, a little bit of sugar won't hurt. So like we said, it was very prevalent, and a lot of people had a misunderstanding of the actual disease. And as they saw people being in denial who had the disease, they found that some of them would say, oh, I can eat, you know, whatever, and I'll just take my insulin and I'll be okay. Okay, so we noticed that these were some misunderstandings regarding the disease in the community. Now, with our key informant interviews, these are the people who participated. We had several administrators, board members, community partners, and staff members who we interviewed regarding the program. And they said that the number of people who participated in activities varied depending on the actual size of the program. So if there were educational activities such as workshops, they said that generally they had an attendance of 35 to 50 people. And for outreach activities such as health fairs in the community, they would have as many as 300 to 2,500 people. So these would also be those faith-based programs where they're reaching the entire congregations as well. And we asked their perceptions of the activities and the impact that it had on the individuals as well as on the communities. They said that they were able to reach the communities and make a difference because they were able to provide activities that generally were not available to the people in these underserved communities. And they said that it had a very positive impact on the community. these programs provided better understandings of diabetes. And so when people left from their physician's visits, they had a better understanding about their disease and what they needed to do to manage it. We asked about the strengths of the program. They said that the participants received health information and services. They were informed of the resources in the communities. They learned more about the disease, and they were empowered to manage their own health. The program created a comfortable environment to discuss the disease because many of these programs had a support group where people could come and talk to other people who shared their experiences and to learn from them. And as far as the impact on the community, it provided health advocacy and increased education throughout the community about the disease. It increased the sharing of resources that impacted the individuals and their families and reduced the cost of health care to the community because now people were learning how to prevent the disease as well as to manage complications from it. So a summary of our focus group's findings, we found that all of the programs offered components that were beneficial for the participants as well as their families. They provide a variety of free and low-cost options, flexible times, transportation, and convenient locations that facilitated participation in these programs. It was the supportive staff and the peers that were instrumental for the success of the individual participants. But the lack of advertisement, transportation, and personal time often hindered participation. They recommended that earlier education in schools and more community outreach, as well as additional funds and more space to accommodate more people, and healthier vending options in schools and other public areas, as well as incorporating technology, would do more to help increase awareness and to include more minorities. And the summary of our key informant interviews, we found that although the key informants indicated that the programs provide a number of benefits to the individuals and community, that continued funding for the program activities and space were essential to reduce the prevalence and impact of diabetes on their respective communities. I would like to acknowledge those who assisted us in conducting these interviews and focus groups, Ms. Elizabeth Woods and Ms. Heather Morgan, and also Ms. Ruth Little, who was instrumental in some of the more faith-based initiatives in working with Ms. King. Thank you.